This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
All right, folks, and we are back. This is another episode of the Deep in the Hunt of Texas podcast. Man, it is just one of those, I guess, really last 2 weeks where I don't know if y'all have ever seen the meme of the Popeyes worker after, the chicken sandwich came out probably 6-7 years ago and kind of has sitting on a bench, hands in the face, trying to figure out what the hell just even happened. And man, that has been me the last, I guess, month really, but we'll call it 2 weeks for sure. So I apologize, but today we're getting the first ever solo commuter podcast. Just kind of ramble here for a little bit. I maybe want to get into a little bit of, we are at the middle of July and I don't know what happened here. June felt like it was the longest month of my life. I mean, I turned 30 in the middle of June and about literally a month ago. And it feels like that was, it feels like it was 6 months ago. I don't necessarily know what's happened. I don't know what all has changed, but it's been an interesting summer. Just, July is just, I felt like it was the 4th of July, a couple days ago, and we're more than 10 days out from that. So I guess it's funny how that works. But anyways, yes, I am doing this on my commute home. Thankfully, I have quite the commute to get to my house because I live far from my job. Hopefully, everyone in traffic behaves and my language stays cleaner than it normally is. Unfortunately, my mom does dabble in this podcast, and I was over there actually dropping off some very famous Parker County peaches, and as mothers do, lovingly, being the driving word here, was a little bit admonished, as I probably should be for some of the language here, but probably not going to stop. That ship has unfortunately sailed. But today, I kind of want to talk about some things that might be going with this podcast, a couple future episodes, kind of starting to look forward here a little bit. I know for the past 2 months, I've kind of talked about the quote unquote doldrums, but we're starting to just peek around and see the end of summer. TPWD, I always say TWPD, it's TPWD, Parks and Wildlife, not Wildlife Parks, is coming out with the draw hunts already. Some of those are already live. That is where I go and waste $400 every year to not get drawn for anything. That's okay. But you're starting to see it a little bit. It's sneaking up on us. I've definitely chilled out with the golf a little bit and my mind is starting to be a little bit more forward focused for sure. Because I mean, you know, we got the end of this month and then it's August and I'm going to start, you know, really working on getting cameras out. I really don't like to run cameras in the summer, frankly, because I've seen too many people and myself have my heart broken for whatever reason. And I don't want to see deer that I think are going to make it all summer. And for whatever reason, I had a buddy of mine, he had a 14 point non-typical at his place and last year. And I think late August, they found him dead on the other side of the property. And I just, you start to dream of the grip and grin, at least I do, where you start seeing it like, man, I wonder what it'd feel like to have them in my hands. And I'm a bit of a dreamer. It's probably not the best thing to do, not trying to put the cart before the horse, but happens to the best of us. So, you know, August comes around, we'll have a little work weekend, kind of get some things going up at the ranch. Really don't have any plans on hunting anywhere else this year. I think this is the first year I can definitively say I'm only going to hunt out of my family's place. I can already tell you it's going to be one of those years where I'm probably not going to be able to hunt as much as I would like. Sometimes life does get in the way between weddings, events, and whatnot. And there's a couple things too that I've planned, whether it's a fishing trip or whatnot, that we'll just see how it goes. I will say this, not to say there's too much trepidation here, but the deer hunting in where I hunt can be very hit or miss. And not to say I've figured it out, but I think I've kind of moved a thing or two around to at least understand what's happening now. And I'm sure as soon as I think I understand what's been happening, at least the trend of the last few years, it'll get switched up on me, but that's part of the game. But I mean, the last 2 years, it has been a grinded out fest. It's truly been how often do you want to sit there and figure it out? Because, I did not shoot a deer in 2024, 2025, I shot a deer on December 28th, which was pretty much going to be my last hunt of the year. So it's definitely has its difficulties the past few years. And it's funny to say that too, where the 2 years before that, I mean, I tagged out in the middle of October and the first week of November. So maybe, hopefully, it would be ideal if I could get something like that to happen, because I'm just not going to have the time to grind out 30, 35 hunts this year. So, but it is what it is. So, I mean, I definitely will say I am going to manage my expectations a little bit less this year. Not going to say I'm going to be a 3-year-old shooter or anything like that. I'm just going to be a little bit more focused on just strictly probably age class versus trying to track down a specific deer. That is kind of, not to say that's got me in trouble, but it has hindered me a little bit due to the fact that, you know, not saying I'm passing on deer that I should or shouldn't, however you want to view that, but there's definitely some deer, especially in 24, that hindsight 2020, I was like, you know, you've probably been fine just pulling the trigger on that. But you know, there's, and it's funny. I've been hunting my family's place for forever, but you find out people around you change and things around you change. And I actually found out the people, one of our neighbors who I didn't really know, and I actually found this out from a buddy who for some reason reached out to them. I can't quite remember. I think they have like 50 acres, and I found out they're taking like 4 or 5 deer off the place, and I'm like, okay, that's, you know, it's one of those deals where they go and buy 30, 40, 50 acres, whatever it is. And the guy that owns it is shooting a buck. His son is shooting a buck. His daughter-in-law, his kid, his grandkids are shooting a buck. And it's like, you know, it's to each their own, but also, It's probably not the greatest thing to hear. I mean, I'm not telling you one way or another, but it's definitely not the best deer management strategy. And y'all are going to have to bear with me for 1 second while I run in to Chipotle to top of my bag. This is what we get as we're doing this on the road, because that's all the time I had a lot of this. So we're just going to mentally pause here for 30 seconds. So good. Oh my gosh. You know what? We're going to get a little impromptu tangent here. As I get back in the truck here. All right. We're back in the truck. Sorry. That was mucho needed. So we're going to go a little, we got a million ways we can go with this today. It's just me. No guests, nothing. Actually, I got Rose in the back seat, staring at squirrels. So, we're gonna pause on the little property thing, and we're just gonna rank our Diet Cokes. I mean, obviously, I've extensively talked about my addiction to Diet Coke, which I've been trying to cut back a little bit. I tried really hard for a few weeks, and. You know what? I just got to do what you got to do, man. I just don't want to stop. That's true addict stuff. But we're just going to go ahead and rank our fast food Diet Cokes here. Anyone who knows me, they know that I prefer it from the fountain. I will drink it from a can or a bottle, even though it is not my preferred method of consumption. However, we're going to start with our S tier, as the children say, the top of the food chain. So S tier is going to be Chipotle. Chipotle is in the S tier. They are, I don't know what they do. It's kind of unexpected. It's the paper cup. It's classic. I don't know if they're doing too much. I just wish they had a 44-ounce option. That would really top it off for me. But Chipotle, this is a sneaky one. Not many people are going to say that Chipotle is S tier, or even know it's S tier. I don't think a lot of people are getting Diet Coke at Chipotle, or it's not just top of mind because it is a walk-in restaurant. It's not a drive-thru. But I would encourage you, if you do go to Chipotle, which, you know, as much as I do, which is probably 5-6 times a week, go and try the Diet Coke. It's phenomenal. Just trust me on this. Second S tier. We're gonna only have two places in the S tier. In-N-Out. In-N-Out is just, I mean, top of the chain. It's, look, and I'm gonna come on here and say it. In-N-Out is better than Whataburger. Whataburger is not even a Texas restaurant. They were bought out by private equity in Chicago. They are franchise owned. There is too much quality differential between the two, and we'll maybe get to a little bit later. In-N-Out, if whether you're getting burger, Diet Coke, fries, it is the same in Fort Worth, Texas versus the same in, you know, San Diego, California versus Salt Lake City, Utah. It is all the same. You're getting the same burger, same fries, and most importantly, you're getting the same Diet Coke. And that is huge. So S tier, In-N-Out, it's the GOAT. They have the 44-ounce option, which is phenomenal. Yeah, phenomenal for someone like me. The only complaint is on the 44-ounce option, I guess. They don't quite think I have the lids figured out. those lids will pop off on you. And I've had a couple Diet Coke bass in the front seat of the old Ford. So that's not ideal, but, you know, on quality and consistency, S tier. Moving on to the A tiers. This is going to be a very popular one. Some people are going to say, Connor, why is this not an S tier? I'm going to tell them because they need to do better. It really doesn't have a lot to do with the quality of the product. However, number one in the A tier, McDonald's. Some people think it's S tier. It's look, I know some people, and maybe I'm getting way too in the weeds here because I'm talking way too much about Diet Coke versus my knowledge of hunting, which my knowledge of Diet Coke might be a lot deeper. But you know, everyone's seen the whole viral. They have a special deal with Coca-Cola where the Diet Cokes come in stainless steel versus the pouches of syrup when it's mixed in a fountain drink, blah, blah, blah. Problem is, though, is they don't have styrofoam cups. McDonald's also have a lot of franchises, so consistency and quality is a little, you know? It can vary from time to time. So when it's good, don't get me wrong, when you get a good McDonald's Diet Coke, it's pushing in the S tier. The problem is they are not consistent enough for me, at least. Next, move my A tier. We're moving over to the Lord's Chicken, also known as Chick-fil-A. Solid option. It's good. It's a styrofoam cup. They don't have. Only downside is they don't have. What was my train of thought here? They don't have a 44-ounce option. I love the styrofoam cups. And it's, again, they are franchised, but obviously Chick-fil-A is incredible consistency, quality control, all very important things for what I'm looking for. And that is going to be round out my A tier. B tier, moving on to B tier. B tier, as mentioned before, Whataburger. It's fine. And that really sums it up. A lot of consistency and quality issues. Whataburgers are heavily franchised. Like I said, they're not even really a Texas restaurant anymore. They try too much stuff. I want, you know, burgers and a couple of chicken options, not, you know, a honey pimento cheese sandwich from Whataburger. Like, you just got to stop that. Just stop. And I'm not going to go too much on a Whataburger diatribe here, but I mean, Whataburger has lost the plot completely. And like all these people saying, oh, you're not a real Texan or whatever. Like, it's Whataburger has turned into like dating a stripper that says she'll change. And, you know, she might have been faithful to you for the longest time, but then she got up on the pole and started making money. And she's like, I don't have to do this and blah, blah, but look, we both know she's not going to change that lifestyle. That $1,500, 4 nights a week, she ain't going to go make it waiting tables at the Buffalo Wild Wings or the Chili's. So that's how I feel about Whataburger. It used to be great to you, but you know, they went and got their bag and it's different now. Moving into my B tier, some people might say I had this a little high. I'm partial because there is one of these by my office and they're pretty good. But just for my personal, these were my rankings, not yours, mine. We're going to go with Jack in the Crack. Now, the food is a whole different story. I mean, they have a breakfast Jack and that's about the only good thing there. Other than that, it's pretty much it as far as what they have to offer. That the food there is terrible, but the one by me, pretty good Diet Coke. But those are going to be our two B tiers. Pretty common stuff. Going to move over to the C's. Wendy's. It's fine. I don't go to Wendy's a lot. If it's on the way and I'm desperate, I will go to a Wendy's. Nothing crazy about it. Nothing, you know, wild. But it's just kind of there. That's what we're going to kind of get out of that one. You know, it just kind of is what it is. I know some people that ride for Wendy's. I personally don't. I don't think their burgers are that great. I think there's a whole lot of other fast food options if that's what you're getting. Moving on, I'm not really going to spend a lot of time in the C tiers. We're going to get in the D tiers here of just absolutely heinously awful. We're going to move on, and maybe I'll throw a gas station in here, but a lot of people eat food here. QT. QT's terrible. QT has just, and honestly, 7-Eleven. Like, gas station Diet Cokes are terrible. I honest to God, I don't think I've ever had a good gas station Diet Coke. It just, it's gross. It's not for me. I don't want it. It just, it doesn't hit the same. It's, something always tastes funny. Like, it tastes like they're not cleaning the spouts or the lines or something. It's just not it, man. And then we're going to go to the F tier. I mean, any of your Pepsi chain places. We're going to go with, and there goes my water bottle. Sick! We're going to go with Taco Bell. We're going to go with KFC. Taco Cabana, RIP. Taco Cabana used to be a Coke place. Taco Cabana food slaps. But God, they got rid of Diet Coke. And that pisses me off. So shout out Taco Cabana. You've lost some business. So yeah, those are our impromptu Diet Coke rankings. I'm right, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. But moving forward back to deer hunting, I didn't want to forget about that little tangent there before I move forward. Obviously talking about the property owner behind us who I kind of adjacently met via buddy. They are, you know, that's interesting. And I won't say it's frustrating. I mean, I'm in an incredibly lucky position where, have access to a pretty big tract of acreage versus what they're hunting. But you know, it does, I don't even want to know how I say this. It does feel like it's being encroached a little bit when you find out that many deer are being taken off of that short of an acreage where, you know, they are shooting deer that I have habitat for and I'm supporting with feed, habitat, whatever. It feels a little, I don't know if the term is frustrating, but it's just kind of, you know, it is what it is. I guess we'll kind of leave it at that. So, pretty managed expectations this year. If I could match what I did last year, which, you know, was very pleased with the deer I shot last year. Was it anywhere near the biggest deer I've seen over the last 2 years? Absolutely not. But it was a very solid 5.5, 6.5, 120-inch 8-point. That's a pretty good representation of where I hunt versus, you know, the few outliers where, you know, there have been 170-inch deer, 180-inch deer. It's not often. I've had a few of those in the same year. But with that being said, it is definitely a little bit different for sure. So I'm going to temper those expectations. But that being said, I do want to maybe mix in a few other things. One thing I would like to do is I want to take some people that haven't been hunting. I have some buddies that have expressed some interest in going, whether that's just a meat hunt. I mean, hell, I'd let them shoot a mature buck if it just happened to walk out. I know the odds of that are pretty slim sometimes. But I would like to take some people hunting for the first time this year. I think that'd be really cool. And especially if it's just a meat hunt, and if anything, like, you know, it gets expensive. Trying to feed families. I mean, some of these people got families of five. So I'm sure they would love all of the free venison that they could take. So that's one thing I want to do. There's a couple buddies. So we'll call it two. We'll set, I'm a big goal setter, and each beginning of year I put up a whole bunch of different goals that aren't hunting related, but maybe we're kind of doing the same thing here, but we're going to go ahead and put out goal number one for this year is to maybe get two people who've not hunted to shoot a deer at the ranch. Put it plainly, I guess, if you will. Number two, for those who don't know, I have two nephews. One is going to be three by deer season. The other is not quite there. He's one and a half. I would like to take the oldest nephew with my brother hunting sometime. Obviously, going to be a little bit more casual, going to be a little bit more, it's more of just, I want to get him out to see deer. I think that'd be really cool. It'd be obviously my brother, who is my best friend, spend some time with him. And I think that'd be a really, really cool experience because for the record, my brother hunts, but he is not like the most avid hunter. Especially not to the extent that I am. So with that, I would like to maybe get him. And my brother's elk hunted more than he's deer hunted, for the record. I don't know how that's happened or what he has done to pull that off. I still haven't got the invite, but, maybe I need to network a little bit better. But I think that would be goal number two, is because I would really like to get to the point where my brother is, sorry, we're moving to the dog park here. This is real life, folks. Is there an ant on me? Huh. I just thought that. And we are, I'd like to get to the point where he can just go by himself and not have to, give him the lay of the land, because he will go occasionally, but it's not like me and him are going all the time. I still know how he's going to end. He saw me just now. That's gross. Come on. But yeah, I would like to get to the point where he can go. And his two sons, and not necessarily something where it's like, oh, Connor has to go hunting. He can go out there with himself and kind of handle things with the two boys, because I think that's super, super important to be able to do that. Sorry, I'm getting settled in a dog park here. Okay. We walk all the way over to the park over, so people don't think I'm talking to myself, which they probably do. They probably think I'm crazy. But yeah, for those who recall, I do have a 9-year-old GSP who still thinks she's 2 years old. And there's a dog park on my way home. And this is just the most convenient place to let her do her thing. And people don't think I'm crazy talking to myself. So that's been goal number two. Goal number three. Man, I got some buddies. Shout out Bear Jordan. I'd really like to get old Bear back on one. I feel bad because I just have been beating his ass in golf all summer long. I mean, it's borderline not getting fun. So he needs a pity deer just so he can keep his confidence high. It's got to suck to play golf all summer and lose that much. So hopefully, I'm kidding. I'm doing a bit here. But that I say that to a bigger point is there's a couple buddies I would like to get on some actual bucks who I do hunt with consistently, who aren't necessarily, you know, it's part of the circle of life, not circle of life, but, you know, everyone for the most part who is my age, who I call a friend, outside of a few exceptions, they all are married with kids. So being able to get everyone together, to, you know, go up and hang out, and go do whatever is slowing down a little bit, for sure. You know, it's not like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when we could go up and have 3, 4, 5 different, hunting trips, and we could have the impromptu ones where people could just, you know, hey, are you free this weekend? Yeah, I am. Well, everybody now is kind of settled down, and it takes a little bit more planning. So I think if we could get 3 weekends this year, I would call that a great success. Obviously, I'd love for it to be more, but then again, I mean, I'm, you know, not married or I don't have kids, and I would probably say I'm going to be one of the busier ones this year. I know I got cousins getting married, got a fishing trip. Got a trip going to a football game with some other friends. So it's going to be one for sure. But that's just, again, the nature of the beast. No one, you don't get older and life get less. Oh, I guess it doesn't take some age, whatever. But, you know, when you're 32, golly, dude, I got ants in my shoes on me somewhere, and I'm getting torched right now. I mean, good Lord. This is why you don't wear flip-flops to the dog park. But yeah, it's definitely just kind of getting that point in life where people just get busier and busier and busier. So we'll see what happens. And honestly, I would just like another goal, and there's no real, this one doesn't really have a per se measurement. Like, I want to shoot a 140-inch deer. I'm going to jump around. I'd love to do that. I want to feel like I, you know, enjoy my time out there a little more versus being a little bit too goal-oriented. I mean, you know, as many of us do, I'm sure many people who do listen to this podcast or any kind of hunting podcast, they put a little bit too much value on, it's not too much value, but they put a lot of their value versus, you know, personal goals in how big of a deer they shoot, how many deer you shoot, you know, how big is your feeder, how big is your biggest blind, you know. So I think it definitely want to feel like I want to slow down a little bit, because I've definitely gotten obsessed with, you know, can I go shoot this big deer? Can I go pull this off? And honestly, sometimes I'm just like, I've caught myself not doing it for the right reasons. Especially like last year, it's like starting this podcast off, and I'm like, okay, I gotta shoot big deer. So people know I'm Connor, big deer killer, and I shot a big one this year. And it's just, it's a little bit more, it's just not that important at the end of the day, what kind of person you are. You know, when you're lying in a casket at 90 years old, hopefully, I hope there's a long list of things that people can say about me before, saying they, shot a bunch of big deer. Now, don't get me wrong, I want that to be on the list. I'd like that to be about number 8 or 9. Not 1 or 2. And that's something that I have definitely had to learn. So this is kind of some goals and expectations. And honestly, I will say this, though. I think, you know, as many places in Texas, I'm not going to say I'm going to get too excited. I don't have cameras out yet, but I do think this is going to be a good year. I know this is July. Oh, let's see. What is this? July 14th day. And I think it's going to be a good year. I mean, we have had a bunch of rain the last 2 days in DFW. Going to get some rain more. I know South Texas is getting hammered. I know the Rio Grande, Del Rio area is supposedly getting a lot of rain right now. And hopefully that leads to some antler growth as many places in Texas. The water availability for browse and whatnot, obviously you can feed a ton, but you feed will never replace natural browse. And so as the rain goes, the antler growth grows and the health of the deer herd goes. So I will say we've had a good rain year. It has been an above average rain year. And here's the kicker too. Not only do we need an above average rain year, we need consistent rain. There have been years in the past. Last year was a little bit this way where the rain was very consistent from February to June. And then it just shut off and everything just started to die quickly too. I mean, we had an average rain year last year, but it didn't, you know, the median, I guess, or the spread of the rain was not that great. So we're getting some good July rain right now, which doesn't always happen. So that's going to be a good thing. I mean, we got rain in the forecast the next 4 or 5 days. And I know Austin, Killeen, Temple, Dripping Springs, Fredericksburg, they all got a ton of rain today. And so that's a very good thing there as well. So hopefully that kind of translates to kind of refreshing things. It's got a little dry here, but it's, you know, and shout out all our ranchers as well. I know they're probably excited too. Well, it's come down a little bit, but still, any rain is helpful and appreciated. So hopefully there'll be some good opportunity and we can time it up. I think I've kind of got it teed up a little bit where I just, for the way my property sets up, it is just not the best rut hunting, just because it's a lot of pasture land. It's very open. All the cover and trees are surrounding me. So I don't get a lot of consistent or predictable rut action. If anything, hunting fence crossings, as far as like from different pasture to pasture where there might be a little bit of a low spot in the fence, that's my most reliable spot. But it's definitely been difficult to pinpoint that. So I've had a lot more success in the, I guess we'll call it February, geez. That late November, we'll call it maybe early December, like that Thanksgiving, honestly, to that first or second week is just, it's hard to beat. It's definitely my favorite for sure. Especially when you get a little cold weather where there's still a little bit of bucks chasing does, things are still a little spicy between the sexes, if you will, but you are still getting to get a little bit more on that bed to food pattern. The doe groups have kind of grouped back up a little bit again. But also that's when you will see your big mature deer on the move trying to breed that last doe. Or even some of those, some of the craziest rut hunts I've had has been that first week of December. I won't even call it a rut hunt, but you get a fawn that's coming to heat late or something like that. And one that early dropped, maybe a little earlier than it should have. And I mean, dude, that'll be some of your best rut hunting. I mean, it won't be consistent, but if you happen to find yourself in that scenario, it will be very, very good. So that's hopefully something that is going to happen this year, but it does find a little bit more consistently. So the perks of being able to use feeders and whatnot, I wish I had a little more latitude to rut hunt, you know, a funnel or whatnot. But, I'm in North Texas, and not to say they are using terrain, but it is a little bit sporadic, and obviously people are hunting around me and whatnot. So it definitely makes things a little bit more difficult. So, well, all right. That was all I'm probably going to go today. We got about 40 minutes out of it, so that'll work. But we will be back next week, and we'll go from there. Y'all stay safe.